Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Thursday morning here in the Music City. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. We are social distancing show number 6. I'm down here in Rutherford County. Willie is representing the east side. Chase over on the west side. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Got a chance to see Scott Van Pelt talk with Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred last night. He has vowed that they will indeed come back. Today would be opening day, and we've got Kirk Casale on the line with the Cincinnati Reds catcher. When you think of opening day, you have to think about the Reds. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that tradition has been longstanding. Kurt, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're hanging in there, man. We're in unfamiliar territory. And so we're just trying to get by.
No kidding.
What was it like for you guys? Just kind of walk us through. You know, it was interesting. We just had Kermit Davis on last hour, and they played Wednesday night. The SEC tournament played on Wednesday night before it was all canceled. And we had Joe Fisher on a couple days ago. Vanderbilt was the last game played before they shut it down. We had Tim Brando on yesterday. He was calling the Big East game at Madison Square Garden when they called it at halftime. So we've kind of gotten different perspectives of what it's been like when kind of all this started. Kind of track that for us on your end.
We went in, we were out in Goodyear, Arizona, and I can't remember what day it was exactly, but they had a scheduled game for that afternoon at 1. I wasn't scheduled to play because I played the day before in Salt River Fields against the Rockies. And, ironically, it was raining, so the game got canceled before we ever had any meetings about potential postponement of the season. And, you know, we're watching MLB Network, and while our game has gotten banged and all this stuff is going on, the Pirates and somebody are still playing out in Bradenton, and we're watching the game being like, man, this is going to be the last game we're going to watch for a while. And we couldn't believe that they were actually still playing based on what we have been hearing and rumblings. And, we had a scheduled meeting with our owner who was in town, Bob Castellini, Dick Williams, Dick Crawler, general manager. And I think when we heard those names, especially when our owner, Bob, was in town, we kind of looked at each other just like, this isn't good. You know, they had a 30-minute conference call with all the major league teams and, Commissioner Manfred, and I'm sure Joe Torre was on the line. But they came in to the locker room afterwards. Everybody in the whole organization was in there. And, they didn't have a whole lot of answers, but they just said, the season is postponed. They're looking at 2 weeks for, April 9th. But they weren't really comfortable saying that as a definitive date. But, everything just kind of happened so quickly after that. And as soon as the NBA, postponed their season, we knew we weren't far behind, and now we're all dealing with this thing together.
Yeah. So what have been kind of the marching orders for the athletes? Yeah, because it seems like every league's had kind of like different way, self-quarantine, you can't go home, now you can go home. So what have they said to the players?
Obviously, they can't really instruct us to do a specific thing because we're not there together. I have somebody from the organization texting me every morning, making sure I'm okay and healthy, and just kind of keeping tabs on each member of our team and our organization. So that's cool. So me and my wife are doing okay. We're spending a lot of time at home. I really don't go outside very much. I might get get in touch with, you know, Sonny Gray and go play catch with him every once in a while. But it's there really isn't a whole lot of structure right now, and that's why we're just in uncharted waters right now. We're just trying to be safe. You know, obviously baseball is important to me. It's important to my livelihood. And, you know, I know there's a lot of fans out there that want to be safe but also they want sports. They want entertainment. And I'm one of those guys as well, but we kind of have to put that on the back burner for now and, you know, take care of the world as opposed to, you know, our entertainment, options as of today. So I'm trying to do my part and, by not doing anything basically.
Yeah. Kirk Casale on the line with the Cincinnati Reds catcher, former Vanderbilt player. And when you hear some of the things that came out of that interview and some of the things that are kind of being floated out there publicly, my guess is a lot of this is getting out just to kind of see what would be the fan reaction, the media reaction. When you hear, you know, possibly neutral site games for the playoffs or seven-inning doubleheaders, I mean, everybody's, like you said, everybody – at some point, everybody's going to want sports back big time because, I mean, this is all difficult and weird and strange, but you also have to be realistic about it. So when you hear some of the things being floated out, Kurt, what do you think as a player?
I know a little bit more than what's being floated out there, and unfortunately I can't tell you everything, but okay. Some of the ideas that are floating out there are, you know, have some merit to it. I'd say the general thing that the players and the owners want is for us to play as many games as possible. It's how we make our full salary. It's how the, you know, the owners make payroll. It's how they make money over the course of the season. And so, like, those are two things that we really, really want to happen. But in terms of all the other ideas and the ideas of, you know, the playoff expansion and, you know, neutral sites, those are all ideas just to make sure or give us the option to play as many games as possible. This is not going to, you know, roll over into a further season, I mean, at least for the next 2 years, because we're still under a collective bargaining agreement for the next two seasons. But we have to get creative for this year. I mean, we want to play. We don't want this season to go to waste. And if it takes, you know, different playoff formats, if it takes playing into November, December at a, you know, warmer weather field, then, you know, it's not ideal. But none of this is ideal. Nobody wants to be doing anything we're doing right now. We just kind of got to go with the flow and see what's available to us. But I'll give props to the, you know, Major League Baseball and the Players Association for trying to hammer this thing out. And, you know, hopefully we have some answers from the CDC soon that will give us a general, you know, idea of when we could potentially start playing. And then that could lead to some, you know, more clarity in terms of how we are going to attack this regular season and playoffs for 2020.
We're talking to Reds catcher Kurt Casale here on 102.5 The Game. And, Kurt, as you float that out there, one of the things that that we were discussing earlier in the show was an increased amount of doubleheaders, potentially, to try to get more games in. Back in the day, there were a lot of scheduled doubleheaders a long time ago, and it was a lot easier. Pitchers were more apt to throw seven or eight innings in a start than they are now. But what would that do? You said, you know, sometimes you just have to take drastic measures here. I know there's been concern about the strain it would put on pitching staffs to have too many. But what would be the right amount if you played more doubleheaders?
I love the way college does it. The 2 7-inning back-to-back doubleheaders, I think, is just a genius idea. Honestly, when, you know, it's kind of, you know, back in college, we would sometimes, you know, act like Bull Durham and, like, We would love a rainout. Like, you just, you know, you're tired, you just want a rainout, and you're just, and they were like, well, you got to play 2 7s. We're like, bring it on. We love that. It's significantly easier than a day night doubleheader with 2 9s in the big leagues. If they would, you know, be willing to go that route, I would venture to say that the players would be on board just in terms of you know, a durability issue. In terms of how, you know, pitchers would get worn out. Yeah, they probably would, and they would have to they'd have to think about making some roster expansions. I think you know, we agreed to go to 26 players per roster this year. I don't see they had to condense the schedule, limiting our off days, I don't see how that number could be right. So whether they add, you know, another player, another or two players to that, I mean, it definitely will alleviate some of the strain. But the doubleheader thing, I think players would get on board with if they would go with the 2-7s idea. The 2-9s is kind of is difficult. You know, I know, you know, the old saying, "Let's play two," is famous, but it's definitely not something that we look forward to because it, you know, you play two games in a day, it takes you a few days to recover from that, honestly.
You, I don't know if you saw your compadre, Sonny Gray, throwing the ball up against the pitchback. I don't know if that's over in Smyrna at the house he grew up in or something. He could have called you up, I guess. You guys could have had a catch. But how long do you think it would take, Kurt? Okay, I see.
Yeah.
So how long do you think it would take, when you get the green light, whenever that is, to be able to ramp back up? Because as you said, it's tricky how you work out. You can't get in together in big groups, and everybody's at home. You're trying to do what you can and be safe at the same time. So what's the right timetable to ramp back up so that you're ready to play a regular season game?
Well, I mean, at the point that we were just at, so what was that, 5 weeks of spring training, I think we were at, 4 or 5 weeks. I think the pitchers were about at like 80% full, if you will. Like, so they were 80% of the way there. So, I mean, realistically, if each pitcher was able to, you know, continue throwing and, you know, maintain a similar level of endurance and, you know, arm strength, that would lessen the time. I think they're trying to cover the bases for people who don't have the access right now to, you know, a catcher or a facility that are, you know, not being able to work out their arms. I would say that at a minimum, it would take 3 weeks to ramp back up, and that's not for really a position player's perspective. It's, you know, it's solely for pitchers, and you know, that's why spring training is as long as it is anyways, so the pitchers have time to get their arms loose. And you know, if it were up to the position player, we'd be ready to go in probably a week and a half of spring, because everybody shows up to spring training ready to go now, and it's just one of those things we have to deal with. And I'm just thankful that I am not the one that has to make these decisions, because these are tough calls, and I can't even imagine what's going on in these conversations between the PA and the you know, Major League Baseball, because it's just havoc all the way around. But you know, hopefully they're able to come up with some decisions and you know, some clarity real soon. But I'd say 3 weeks minimum is what we would need to at least prepare properly for a season. That way nobody gets hurt.
All right, let's get nostalgic for a fun one here. What was opening day in the Casale house like growing up? Who was your team? Who did you watch? What was it like on opening day?
My favorite team growing up was the Atlanta Braves. I, you know, at the time, the TV deals weren't as lucrative, so there wasn't many teams that had, you know, that were on regularly. So we were watching, you know, we were watching TBS, and we were watching the Braves play. And, you know, my favorite player of all time is still to this day Chipper Jones. I will say we didn't have like a celebration or a party for opening day, but I was always really excited for the baseball season to get going, because it was kind of a sign of spring is here, you know, warm weather, and you know, the boys of summer getting back out and getting after it. But I used to love watching Chipper Jones, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Sondra Jones, you know, back in 95. It just, like, that was the year they won the World Series. And you know, David Justice, Andres Galarraga, like, those guys I looked up to. And it definitely was an exciting time to, you know, get baseball season going on. And, you know, today would have been opening day, and it just sucks, because Cincinnati is incredible on opening day. It's absolutely incredible. I've never seen anything like it. The parade is insane. It's, you know, the whole city shuts down. It is a city holiday for Cincinnati. And, you know, I just feel bad for, you know, the city of Cincinnati. I wish I could experience it again. And hopefully whenever this season starts back up, we can you know, get to experience it again, because I know when we do, that city of Cincinnati will definitely, you know, open their hearts to us and come out and support us the way that they, you know, the way that they love to do. And we can't wait to see them again. It's just such a shame that today should have been the day, and it's not.
We're talking to Kurt Casale, Reds catcher, of course, played college ball here in Nashville at Vanderbilt. And your teammate, your new teammate, Trevor Bauer, before everybody left and they had just started the postponements and all of that, he had a sandlot game. And I know you kind of have to get creative with all of this to try and stay interacting with the fans, but it was also to raise money. What'd you think about that?
I think Trevor has a lot of great ideas. He, you know, he's a very interesting guy. He's become a good friend now that I've started to play with him. But he actually owns his own media company, Momentum, and he puts out content regularly. He, you know, has kind of self-charged himself with the responsibility to grow the game. And by doing that, he has made this media company. They put out content all the time, and he never shies away from opening himself up to questions, criticism. I think it's really, really impressive. And that sandlot game was kind of a cool idea. I mean, it was also cool. You know, my other teammate Derek Dietrich was there, and he hit a bomb and he popped his chain. It was pretty funny stuff. But he's all for it. I think if you follow him on Instagram, he's honest. He'll tell you exactly what he's thinking, whether it's right or wrong in whoever's eyes. But he's been a real treat to get to know, and I'm glad to have him on our team. And I think he'll be huge to keep fans engaged over the next few weeks, months, and up until we have actual Major League Baseball games.
Did you see, Kurt, the Real Sports piece on him on HBO?
No, with what, Brian Gumbel?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it was last month, so maybe it was like February. May have been February's edition, but it was pretty interesting. We talked about it on the show. As you said, he's got different beliefs and thoughts, but he also backs it up with, you know, what he believes are his facts and his own analytics. And it was interesting to hear him talk about, you know, he doesn't ice his arm and just all the different things he goes, you know, he goes about things in a different way, as you know.
I think he's ahead of the curve, honestly. You know, he was the one – you know, when he was debuting with Arizona, I'm sure you guys have seen the clip of him doing, you know, the extensive pregame routine. He's throwing from foul pole to foul pole. You know, he's got headphones in. He's doing body blade. And you know, he's got the heavy plyo balls from driveline. And now all that stuff is completely normal. That is routine. It is par for the course. A lot of people do it. With that being said, I would imagine he's got some other ideas that are going to become routine and normal coming up, and so that's why I listen to him. I mean, the guy's a trendsetter, and he certainly started that trend in terms of arm care, and you know, I think the next step for him or his next goal would be to pitch every fourth day. I think he wants to eliminate a fifth starter. He wants to pitch more, and you know, because that'll increase his value. He'll you know, obviously he'll make more money. He can be, you know, he can contribute to the team more regularly, and you know, that's just another one of the ideas I think he's going to come out with. So I would stay tuned on that guy, because he's got more coming down the pike.
Kurt, do you think that with, you know, all this downtime, and you mentioned what Trevor Bauer has done with his media company and different ways to stay engaged, that now it's going to that could grow the game in different ways and add new ideas even when baseball resumes, and it's more than just MLB Network showing old games? Like, I know NASCAR has done, the drivers are playing each other on video games. I've seen that with some other sports. Do you think that kind of changes the way of thinking?
It might, honestly. I think one of the reasons why baseball lacks in terms of fan interaction, or let's just call it, you know, online communication with fans and, you know, whatever, it's because we play every day. We play games every day, and there's not a whole lot of opportunities that many players are willing to go out and, you know, put themselves out there just because we're constantly getting ready for another game, and so on and so forth, as opposed to, you know, maybe the NBA or NFL when they, you know, NFL's got a week between games. NBA's got, you know, I know they play back-to-back sometimes, but, you know, they play half of the amount of games that we have. So they have the time to do it, and they do it really, really well. Like, they've created such an incredible platform that, you know, everybody, if you walk into, you know, a restaurant, you know who those NBA players are. And you know, the saying goes, like, you wouldn't know Mike Trout if you saw him, you know, at a regular gym or you saw him at a restaurant. It's just the way he carries himself. He's just different. He doesn't do that. And I'm more like him than anything, because I just, it's uncomfortable for me to put myself out there a lot. But it, the time now could create, some momentum for the sport, because it's all we have to do right now. And I haven't quite jumped on board with it yet, but, you know, I might try pretty soon here. But if we can, you know, create, you know, an avenue that brings fans and players together through this pandemic, that could be, you know, one solid, incredible thing that comes out of it. And if we don't, you know, at least try to do it, then, you know, then that's our own fault. But we should be more willing to, and I should be more willing to participate in that type of activity, because it can make a real difference in the world and the sport.
No doubt. Kurt, we always enjoy the visits. We'll get through this all together, and we'll be talking about sports again soon enough. Thanks for doing this, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Stay safe, guys.
You guys be safe, yeah. Kurt Casale, Cincinnati Reds catcher, former Vanderbilt player. Always good to catch up with him. More of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.